Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're building a pirate signal style chopped vinyl texture in Ableton Live 12. The goal is to get that dusty jungle and old school D&B attitude, but keep the transients crisp, the mids controlled, and the low end out of the way. Think of this as a hybrid between break resampling, texture design, and arrangement punctuation. This kind of part usually sits behind the main drums as a moving bed, opens up an intro, adds tension under a drop, or gives you that switch-up moment that instantly feels pirate radio and bootleg. Why this works in D&B is simple. Jungle and old-school D&B are built on sampled break energy and imperfect movement. But if you let the source get too messy, the track loses club translation. So the mission is to keep the dust, wobble, and sampled grime, while protecting the kick, snare, and sub. Start by choosing a source that already has character. A classic break, a dusty percussion loop, or even a slightly rough drum recording all work well. You want something with a strong transient shape and some grit in the mids. If it's too clean, you'll have to force the dirt later. If it's already smashed to mush, you'll struggle to get the snap back. Trim it ruthlessly. Grab one or two bars that give you at least one good snare accent, a few ghost notes, and enough space to chop. Warp only if you need it. For this kind of sound, don't overlock it to the grid. A little human drag helps sell the pirate signal feel. You want the loop to feel discovered, not programmed. Now slice it. In Ableton, you can slice to a drum rack if you want quick pad control and fast performance style chopping, or you can manually split the audio and rearrange it for a more tape collage feel. Both methods are valid. Drum rack slicing is great when you want to play the loop like an instrument. Manual chopping is better if you want those hard seams and a more found footage identity. Keep the slices short enough that the attacks are obvious. If a slice is mostly tail and no punch, tighten it or replace it. A chopped vinyl texture needs percussive punctuation. If the pieces blur too much, it stops feeling sampled and starts feeling vague. From there, build the chop pattern around the D&B grid, not a house loop. At 174 BPM, aim for a pattern that answers the main drums instead of fighting them. Place chops around the 1, use syncopation before or after the snare, and leave a bit of negative space so the kick and snare can breathe. A really solid approach is to make bar 1 feel like an opening statement, then change the end of bar 2 slightly, so the loop doesn't fatigue. If your main beat already has a strong snare on 2 and 4, don't stack the chopped break too heavily on those exact hits unless you want a more aggressive hybrid. Usually the best result is when the texture wraps around the backbeat instead of doubling it. What to listen for here? The loop should push the groove forward without shrinking the snare. If the snare suddenly feels smaller, your chop pattern is too dense, too loud, or both. Pull back until the main beat stays in charge. That's the balance. Before you dirty the sound, shape the transients. A great move in Ableton is drum boss or saturator. On drum boss, keep the drive light, maybe around 5-15%, and add just a touch of transient if you need the front edge back. Boom is usually low or off for this texture, unless you specifically want a bit of low thump. With saturator, a few dB of drive with soft clip can add useful edge. The point isn't loudness. It's transient definition. You want the attack to stay readable even after you add grime. Then clean the lows. Put EQ8 on it and high pass gently somewhere around 80 to 140 Hz, depending on how much low-end bleed is in the source. In drum and bass, this part matters a lot. Your texture should not compete with the kick or the sub. Let those elements own the foundation. Now add the vinyl illusion. One classic route is auto-filter into Redux into EQ8. Use auto-filter to slightly close the top end, maybe with a low-pass or band-pass feel, usually somewhere around 8 to 14 kHz depending on brightness. Add a little resonance if you want the filter to speak. Then use Redux very lightly, just enough to rough up the edge. After that, tame any harshness with EQ8, especially around 2.5 to 5 kHz if the attacks get spitty. Another route is saturator into chorus ensemble into EQ8. That gives a more tape-worn, slightly wider mist. If you want a darker, more pirate radio result, I'd usually lean toward the first approach. It keeps the sound rough and old, but still readable in a club mix. What to listen for now? The texture should sound worn, but not destroyed. You want dust, not mush. If the transients disappear and all you hear is a flat crust, back off the processing and restore the front edge first. A chopped vinyl loop still needs a readable attack. Once the movement feels right, resample it. This is the key step. Record the output to a new audio track for 4 to 8 bars, so you capture the loop and any tiny timing variations. Then trim the best section and loop that audio. Resampling turns that idea into something usable, and it bakes in the human imperfection that makes it feel sampled rather than sequenced. If it already feels alive at that point, stop. Seriously, don't keep processing just because you can. That's one of the easiest ways to flatten the transience and lose the groove. Commit, name it clearly, and move on. Now fit it into the mix. Use EQ8 again if needed. High pass it a little more if the low mids are building up, maybe somewhere between 90 and 160 Hz. Cut some mud around 200 to 400 Hz if it clouds the kick and bass. Watch the barky zone around 800 Hz to 2k Hz if it starts getting nasal. And if the top edge is too sharp, trim a bit around 3 to 5k Hz rather than killing all the air. This is where the identity lives. The dusty mid-range is the storytelling zone, but it still has to be controlled. If the texture only sounds good when it's loud, it's probably sitting in the wrong frequency space. Now check it in the actual arrangement, not just in solo. Put it against the kick, snare, sub, and any ride or top loop you've got running. Then make a choice. Either tuck it behind the drums if the track needs space and weight, or let it poke through if you want more chaos and pirate radio aggression. That choice matters. A texture that feels huge in solo can still wreck the drop if it steals focus from the snare or masks the bass movement. So trust the full mix, not the hype of the isolated sound. This is also where arrangement movement comes in. Don't leave it static. In an intro, let it carry more of the identity and maybe close the filter a little more. In the pre-drop, thin it out. In the first 8 bars of the drop, bring back the cleaner transients. In the second half, add more wobble, more filtering, or slightly different chop movement. A very effective old-school trick is to mute the densest chop for one bar before the drop, then bring it back on the first downbeat. That tiny gap makes the return feel much bigger. Small moves can create massive energy. If the track starts to feel too modern and polished, this texture can bring the history back into the room. And if you want it even more useful, print 2 versions, one clean and punchy, one dirtier and more degraded. Then you can use the clean one to support the drop, and the dirtier one for intros or switch-ups. A quick note on mono. If you add widening or chorus, make sure the part still reads when collapsed to mono. Keep the important rhythmic slices centered, and only let the airy debris spread a little. In DNB, mono discipline matters. You want the groove to survive on every system. What to listen for when you check mono? Does the chopped identity still hold together, and does the low end stay clean? If it goes hollow or vanishes, narrow it down. Keep the attack-bearing material solid in the center. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't overcrowd the chop pattern. Remove slices before you reach for more processing. Don't let low end survive inside the texture. High pass it and recheck after saturation, because distortion can bring low harmonics back. Don't crush it before the transients are set. And don't automate everything at once. Usually one main movement, like filter cutoff or density, is enough to carry the section change. The best results often come from parallel thinking. Keep a cleaner transient layer and blend a dirtier duplicate underneath it. That way you can control how much grime appears without losing definition. Use filter movement as a phrase tool, not just a tone tool. And if you want more age, degrade the repeat, not the whole sample. For darker DNB, treat this texture like a threat, not a lead. Keep it just under the drums so the ear feels its presence without losing punch. Let the mid-range do the storytelling. And remember, the fastest way to judge it is in the first 8 bars of the drop with the sub and snare active. Solo can lie to you. The arrangement tells the truth. So here's the core move. Choose a characterful break. Chop it into playable fragments. Build a DNB-aware pattern. Shape the transients. Add controlled dirt. Resample the result, and fit it against the drums and bass without stealing the show. Preserve the groove. Protect the kick, snare, and sub. Keep the dusty identity in the mids. Commit to audio once it feels alive. Now take the mini practice exercise and make it real. Build a one-bar chopped vinyl texture using one break, only Ableton stock devices, and high-pass the final result. Then make 2 versions, one grittier, one more restrained. If you want the challenge, stretch it further and create 3 versions for a 16-bar sketch, a cleaner support version, a dirtier transition version, and a thin filtered version for the intro or breakdown. That's the sound. A battered pirate transmission that still hits like a proper DNB part. Go make it, trust your ears and keep the groove in charge.